Hey sailors, I'm Justin.
And I'm Marsala.
And this is Sailor Manga, the podcast where we become the true sailor guardians of manga by reading some of our favorites and reviewing them to our heart's content. Happy Manga Day, Marsala. How the hell are ya?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. I think rejuvenated by our return to Dead by Daylight, honestly.
Yeah. We are.
I feel more me.
Yeah, and we've both had the day off as well.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It is a wondrous day. But y'all, today we are reading the penultimate chapter of Black Paradox, chapter 5, titled The Spirit World Project. But first, we gotta settle moon news. Marsala, what you got this week?
So my moon news is relatively short, which probably means it's not. But where am I in manga land? Because I've read a lot of manga recently. I've been devouring it. And I can't remember where I was. I think the last time we recorded, I'd read, like, I think 7 volumes of Midnight Secretary or something. That was the one I was reading.
Yes.
So I finished that, as you know.
Yes.
So this, I wouldn't recommend it to you. I liked it, obviously, because, you know, I kept buying it and finished it. But, you know, I think I was saying to you that it felt like not a lot really happened in it. And it was, there was a lot of like, at the start of every volume, it was like, I'm a secretary, he's a vampire, I have to work at midnight. And it's like, yes, I know.
We know this.
And then, you know, she'd sort of re-explain his relationship with his dad and his brother and his mum. And it was just like, we don't need all this.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And she did a lot of, it did make me laugh. The author put, you know, a lot of attention into sort of like their characters and what they were like. But it was like an afterthought that, oh yeah, they work in the business world. Like, at no point in these 10 volumes could I tell you what his job was. I couldn't tell you what the company he worked for actually did. It was just business. You know?
It's just business. That's it.
It's just business. And they were having lots of business meetings about business. And then they were going off to see other companies, and she clearly was just like, meh, we're just going to call this like some rando company name. And at one point they went to Germany on a business trip, and the company they were visiting was just called N Inc.
Didn't even try.
Yeah, she's like, I'm done trying, let's just get down to the sex scenes. Like, that was all it was. But then the last 3 volumes, it actually started to dig into the lore of the vampire world that we were in. Oh. And I thought, now, if they'd done this from the start, maybe I'd have recommended it to you, because it was really super interesting. And there was this whole kind of, like, they were part of clans, and there was this whole, like, hierarchy within the clans, and how vampires can only have children with humans, but they're just meant to use them to mate as vessels. But his mother had ended up falling in love with her human, so she got banished from the clan. And then he obviously,
that's way
and then
more interesting.
Yeah. And then when you have a baby, it's basically 50-50 on whether it's going to be a vampire or a human. So she gave birth to 2 boys. One was a vampire, one was a human. So the human one was obviously accepted. He was a vampire, so he obviously has to live this shadow life, and of course made worse by the fact that they're not part of the official vampire clan. So not only is he, you know, shunned from the world being a vampire, but he's also shunned from growing up within the clan. And they introduced a whole load of side characters, including like the big overall vampire clan boss, like, you know, the head of the Volturi. Who was just this super charming guy, but then you could tell as soon as like he got mad, he was scary. And this was packed into the last 3 volumes, and I was like, this is it. This is so fucking good. And then they just ended it and they got married and that was it.
Well, fuck.
And she was pregnant. She was pregnant with Renesmee or something. I don't know.
Not Renesmee.
But That was it. And I was just like, where's this been for 7 volumes?
See, I don't know if I can war through that many volumes.
You can't. No, don't.
Get to
don't.
The ending.
No, it's not worth it, honestly. But I just wish that it had kind of had that from the beginning. Because then I would have been like, Justin, read this.
Right.
Yeah. So then the second manga that I read, so my internet went down. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't, and it was out for about 6 days.
Yeah, it was like almost a week or something.
Yeah, and that was tough because like the majority of things that I like to do, I need Wi-Fi.
Yeah, same.
So I ended up, it popped up on my recommendations after I'd finished Midnight Secretary. And I thought, oh, I'll just download the first volume. It looks like it'll be fun. And I read all 10 volumes.
Fuck.
In a matter of days, in like 3 days or something. And this is the manga I was telling you about. This isn't my latest one I'm reading, but this is the one that I kept mentioning to you. And it's called Yakuza Lover.
Yakuza Lover. Let me look it up.
Mm.
Yakuza Lover. Japanese manga. Okay. The art is nice.
And it's basically, yeah, the art's super cute. It's basically a man who is an underboss in the Yakuza, and he accidentally meets this girl. What is her name? I've forgotten already. How can I find it?
It doesn't tell me, so I have no idea.
Hang on. What Yuri? Is her name? Why can't I forget?
Is it Yuri?
Yuri! That's it, Yuri.
Okay.
And she's quite like a feisty little thing. Obviously, like, beautiful. But they basically, it's like an insta love. They fall in love within the first 5 pages, which is a bit like, but you know, with manga, they, particularly shoujo manga, they have to like cover a lot in a short space of time. And, you know, the author obviously wanted just to like establish their relationship from the get go. She's a college student. She's 21. We find out later that he's 35. I was like, okay, John Mayer, but you know, we'll just go with it. It's fine. And I thought this will just be a nice little manga to pass the time. It's actually super cute. So it's a spicy shoujo. And at first I was a little bit like, is it a bit too spicy? Like this is, but then it kind of settles down a little bit, but it's just super cute. And it's just them getting into, she has to hide her relationship from her parents because obviously he's a Yakuza boss. And it's each sort of like arc is them getting into sort of stranger and stranger situations. You know, she gets kidnapped at one point by a rival Yakuza boss. He has to come and save her. Then there's another situation where there's this woman who has been in love with him for years, and she tries to get Yuri attacked, and you know, it's all that kind of stuff. And right now in the final volume, she's been kidnapped as to be sold as a sex slave.
Oh fuck.
To the highest bidder. And there is a highest bidder. She's sold. Turns out it's him. I'm just telling the whole plot because I'm don't expect anybody. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't recommend you to read it, you know, whatever. But it was actually super fun, and I grew really fond of the characters, even though I struggled to remember the names. but that's just me. I struggle with people's names. It was super cute. And when I finished volume 10, I actually felt quite crestfallen because it ended in a way that seemed a bit ambiguous. And I thought, okay, she's like, he potentially died, but he didn't. And it's kind of left uncertain. And I'm like, okay, so I think she's done that so you can read into like whatever kind of ending you want, your preferred ending to be. So you could either be like, oh, when she sees him again in the distance, it's because he survived drowning, or the way I thought of it is he did die and she's like just seeing his spirit or remembering him, because I just have that morbid
I see what you mean,
that morbid mindset. But I'm just like, to me that's almost like makes it more romantic in a way that he's but then I found out that there's still 2 more volumes. So clearly he is alive. And I've still got two more. So the next one's released in December. So I'm super excited.
Oh, good. You got something to look forward to.
Yeah. And it was, I really enjoyed it. I grew really fond of the characters. And then there's another one, but I'm going to save that for our next, whenever we next record.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows when that will be. And then it's just music stuff, really. So I don't know if we want to do music stuff. Let's do a half and half. I'm going to do one of the music things on our next recording. And then the other thing is just Taylor stuff, because I just wanted to revisit the 1989 vaults.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be bringing up those.
Yeah, good. I thought you would. Because obviously the last time we recorded, you hadn't done your...
Was the day
your,
it came out.
Yeah, and the day of your reaction.
Yeah, exactly. So I hadn't heard the vaults yet.
Yeah, so let's save. I'll do that. I'll lump that in with your moon news.
Okay, so I don't have a whole lot, but I will say, speaking of 1989, I just want to shout it out because I've been listening to it a lot for stress relief, as well as watching a lot of Sailor Moon for stress relief lately. I always pick up wherever I left off, so I'm in the middle of, well, I'm towards the beginning of Sailor Moon Super S. So that's fun. That's the Pegasus season, of course, of horse, if you will. I just got to watch the episode where Diana comes in. I forgot how much I love that episode, not just because Diana comes in, but it's like, it's such a funny episode because Luna thinks that Artemis is in love with a nun and she's like, "You're a cheating tomcat. Now you got this new kitten. You're a piece of shit." And it's just a wild antics, and I love that episode. It's really good. And I'm like, I'm so glad this is Diana's debut because it's such a fun episode. But anyway, that was fun. And then speaking of rewatches, the last time that we recorded, it wasn't quite Halloween yet. So Halloween will be long gone once y'all hear this, but it was recent for us. And I spent the days leading up to Halloween and the days after Halloween doing a rewatch of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina because I needed the dark, witchy vibe. I was in my full power on Halloween because it was dark and gloomy, overcast day, and I had Sabrina on all day, and it was just, it was lovely. It was wonderful. I just really love, I forgot how much I love that world. It's just so dark and witchy, and it's just, my soul is fed by watching it.
The guy from Sabrina, he was recently in Troye Sivan's music video, wasn't he?
Yes, who plays Harvey
Keitel. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Ross Lynch. Yeah. Oh, love that man. Look at you. God, I love that song. I listened to it yesterday. Anyway, or the day before yesterday. Anyway.
Skinny application interview.
Look at you. Give me a call. Anyway, sorry. What else was I saying? Oh, so I talked about chaos. That's what we call it in the biz.
Yeah.
And then that's really it other than 1989. Like, holy shit. So... I did the reaction.
Yeah.
Let's say this. The way I feel about the vaults now in no way reflects my initial reaction.
Oh, same.
When Slut came on, I was upset. And I feel
could
like
tell.
You can see it all over my face.
You're very expressive.
Yeah, I can't keep my feelings to myself.
There's no poker face, by Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
Lady
I have
Gaga.
No poker face.
No.
Yeah, so, but, and I want to do a little redaction. I believe I said that there was no way that Slut or Say Don't Go could move past 4 and 5.
Yeah.
That is not the case anymore. Yeah. So, redacted. One of them is still in one of those positions, but I'll get to that in a little bit. But that being said, reactions are just initial thoughts. In no way indicates how you're going to fall in love with them, which I clearly did.
Well, we know this just from Midnights and when I said Dear Reader was fine.
And now you're a number one stan.
And now it's my number one. So anything can happen.
Yeah. So should we do our like our new rankings? Because you did your initial rankings that day.
Yeah,
you'd listened to them a couple times.
Yeah, and I feel like mine's not changed much, but my attitude towards the vault tracks has changed a lot. So I owe an apology to Miss Swift because I think I'd said I wasn't that keen on Suburban Legends. I think it might be a skip at some point, but I love all of them. In fact, I think this is my favorite vault. I'm sorry to speak now, but I think it's just slightly pipped it.
You know what? I think I agree.
Yeah. Because with Speak Now, when Emma falls in love, is still has, I know you love it, it still hasn't quite gotten me. Mm-hmm. But all five of these have, you know, they're in some really form have got me. They really are.
Yeah. Okay, so should we just do our ranking and then we can talk about them in that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So my number five, shocking to me, especially given initial reactions. Number five, I got Sublegs. That's Same. Suburban Legends for you guys.
Yeah.
But Marcella calls it Sublegs, and I think it's so funny, so I call it Sublegs. it's not that it's bad. I love it. It's just compared to the other four, it's just I will say I fucking love that the bridge / outro. It does something. The tick tock on the clock. I watch down your block.
Oh, so, that build up at the end gets me every time.
Yeah, it's perfect. I love it. I will say there's a disconnect for me in the second verse. That's where I kind of like lose interest. But then I come back once the chorus starts and she starts calling them national treasures, and it's Nicolas Cage is there in the background being like, yes, my royalty check, and it's just all very good. but yeah, Sublegs 5, it's good. I actually do love it now. If you asked me 2 days ago, I'd probably say I wouldn't love it. I do skip it on occasion.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But I do love it. It's a great song.
She loses me when she says the bit about let it slide like a hose on a slippery plastic summer. I'm like,
see, I love that part.
I don't like that line.
But that's fair.
But yeah.
Well, we both, I think from here, ours are going to wildly be different. I think that's the only one we have at the same position, I think.
Okay.
Because I know you don't have this at number four, but it's my number four, and that's Say Don't Go.
Right.
Not because I don't like it, but there is something I can't put my finger on that keeps me from like standing it for some reason. And I think, I really do think it's the Say Don't Go part. I don't know. It's just a weird, I think when she's singing Say Don't Go and then she says, I would stay forever if you, it reminds me of the melody from Forever Winter. And that melody is very sad and depressing to me to the point where I have to skip Forever Winter. I have to be in the right mindset to listen to it. And I think that's where the disconnect is for me, but that the regular chorus is so fucking infectious that I love it. But yeah, it's just the one of the weaker ones. Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, my number four.
Go ahead.
Is Say Don't Go.
What? What? I'm shocked.
Me too, because that was my number one for a long time.
Yeah, and you said that your least listened to was my number one.
But as of the last 3 days, I don't know if I overplayed it or it's my top three have drastically changed in, you know, the last couple of days. And but don't get me wrong, I still adore it and love it, but it has to go somewhere. And I can't deny that the three above it need to be above it now.
Wow. Okay. I'm genuinely shocked because we did not talk about this.
For me, it was like almost like insta love with that one. And then the others, particularly two of them, were more like sleeper hits.
Okay.
And I can't stop listening to them now.
Fine.
And I have been listening to the vaults like nothing but the vaults.
Yeah, same.
Well, and something else which I'm saving for another moon news, but
okay.
That has that has been my apart from obviously Reputation the last couple of days, because happy anniversary, by the way.
Yes, happy rep anniversary. We're recording this on the 6-year anniversary, and we're DeLulu.
Yeah.
Per usual. that she's going to announce it at tonight's show in Argentina.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
But yes, Stay Don't Go. Absolutely love it. But it just has, when I think about the other three, it has to be number four.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, so far we're agreeing. We'll see if that trend continues. I don't think it's going to, but you know what? That pleasantly surprised me, so we'll see. My number three is, and it pains me to put it at three because I have fallen so in love with it, but it has to go at three, and that's Slut.
Yeah.
The 180 I have done on Slut. Because I did not like it at first.
You didn't.
But again, I think that's because I had such a big expectation attached to it.
I think we thought it was going to be another blank space.
And
it wasn't. 100%.
No.
But I switched on to it really fast after that. Yeah. I was kind of like, I let it go. And then I just enjoyed it for what it was. And
I couldn't let it go yet.
My love has been growing stronger and stronger because I love that little bridge bit. Taking your time in the tangerine neon light. Oh, it just does things to me.
Tangerine. Oh, so good. I think what made me really fall in love with the song is one, I had to shed my expectations and just appreciate it for what it is. And I think the reason I had such a hard time is because I didn't expect for Slut to be a love song, because it is. We all thought it was going to be like a fuck you for slut shaming song, like go fuck yourself. But it's like, if the media calls me a slut, you know, it might be worth it for once because you're so amazing.
I know, I love
that. And I'm like,
that.
So good.
It's such kind of like, might be worth it energy, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's very like Debbie Ryan gif, tuck hair behind ear. It's very that energy.
It is.
And I think that's what made me fall in love with it. And just, the lyrics are so fucking good.
Mm.
And like, adorned with smoke on my clothes, love lorn and nobody knows, love thorns all over this rose, I'll pay the price.
Oh, I love that. And that's so true, because she does pay the price every time. Yes. And the men never do.
And
some do, obviously, but the focus is always on Taylor and who she's dated in the past. It's never really, you know, about the man.
Like she said, no one's calling out Bruno Mars. No one's calling out Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Very misogynistic. But honestly, what made me turn about the song, and I still to this day get goosebumps when it happens, is in the bridge when she says, "I'm not, you're not saying you're in love with me, but you're going to. Ugh.
I know, like, me too.
I'm like, Taylor, quit. I'm not straight. Stop. Her telling anyone to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm putty in her hands. If she was like,
oh, same.
But you're going to. And I'm like, you're right. Yeah, I so am.
Yeah, I am. I am.
I'm like, you know how vampires sometimes like look their humans in the eye and they're like, you need to walk to the door right now. And they're like, yes, master. And they go do it. That's me. I'm the human and Taylor's the vampire.
Yeah.
Literally. So yeah, I fucking, I'm a slut slut, finally. Once again. It's so good.
It is. It's amazing.
All right, what's your number three?
My number three is Now That We Don't Talk.
That's what I thought.
But considering that was number four, that's a nice little jump, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised to see it at number three.
It's all because I'm just obsessed with the part where she goes, I told my mom, she said to get it off my chest. That bit.
Oh, yes.
So I love it. And, you know, I know it's very short, but I feel like, as we've said, it has to be.
It packs such a punch.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, 26 seconds. It really does.
And it's really kind of, and that then obviously the sort of final bit where she's talking about, you know, at least I don't have to pretend that I like acid rock or to be on a mega yacht.
Yeah,
it's so good. We all know it's Harry.
We all know, which I think is so funny given context now, because the lyric, you grew your hair long and LOL.
And yeah, he immediately gets a buzz cut.
He got a fucking buzz cut. He's like, ooh, I don't want that to be about me. Cuts hair. Oh, so funny to me. But anyway.
Yeah. I know.
My favorite comment about it is someone's like, now he's just Styles instead of Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
I miss his. I just love those. I mean, how his hair's been with, you know, the last sort of few years. Oh, it's just been perfect.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, oh, Harry.
Now he's Lieutenant Harry looking ass.
Yeah.
Very military buzz cut.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, it is. I've been listening to it. I think I went from listening to it maybe like once a day to listening to it heavily.
Hell fucking yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I love that song so much. I'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, number twos. I think our number twos are going to be the same. They're not?
No.
Interesting. Okay. That means it moved up. Okay, anyway, so my number two is, and I love it so much, I'm so fucking obsessed with it, but it has to be number two, is It Over Now?
Yeah.
And number two. I can't even talk because the vice grip that this song has got over me, that fucking second verse, does something to me.
Yeah.
And I love that Taylor was like, Slut's gonna be the single. And then we made Is It Over Now number one.
Yeah. Completely.
And she's like, fuck.
She's like, why can I never get this right?
Like, let us do it, Taylor. We'll tell you what's number one.
Yeah, exactly. She should just let the streaming speak. Because I feel like Slut's probably the second most popular one.
It's actually not.
Based on streaming, isn't it? Oh, I'm just going by the UK.
Oh, okay. Weirdly, Now That We Don't Talk is number two, which makes me very happy.
Oh, really? Let me check, actually, to see if it's changed.
Oh, yeah, I should check too.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't believe Is It Over Now went number one. That's crazy. Good for her. Her 11th number one. Oh, it's still number one. Good to know.
Yeah, it's the most listened to. It's not number one in the UK, but it's the most listened to.
Slut hit number three. Wow. Okay.
Is It Over Now is the most listened to. What's the next one? But I'm sure it was Slut. Oh, I stand corrected. The next most listened to one is Now That We Don't Talk. There you go.
If she replaces herself at number one, if Now That We Don't Talk hits number one, you'll be sick of me because I'm never gonna let it go.
Oh, then it's Say Don't Go. Well, interesting.
Interesting. I yeah, number corrected. Three for me is Slut.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
My number two is Slut.
Wow. Okay, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
And again, that's happened just in the last few days. Because I love it so much. Just the whole, it makes me feel a certain way. Like I've got like little play. I mean, we've all got little playlists going on, but I have playlists sort of based on, you know, mood and feeling. Yeah. I have added quite a few of the 1989 Vaults to my midnight-esque playlists because they do make sense to be along with a lot of the Midnight's tracks. But Slut, I've added to my little lover playlist because it just gives me that kind of vibe. And I'm like, this would have been so good. And the whole aesthetic of Lover as well seems to fit around Slut, you know, with the tangerine and the pink flamingos. It's great. Sure.
The dreaminess of that song.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Very Lover.
Yeah, it's so dreamy. And it's just like this kind of, it's almost like that fever dream as well, which she obviously talks about in Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that intoxication of falling in love and just being obsessed with that one person and just going, do you know what? They are going to call me a slut. It's worth it kind of thing. I love it so much. Just that final bridge is perfection, absolute perfection.
But you're going to. Oh, I can't get over it. I'll never be over it.
No, I need it twice. I need it to be twice as long.
Yeah.
With just more dreamy lyrics because, okay.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Mm. And she did just recently release the Slut acoustic version.
It
was good, but that production on the original is...
It's without that beautiful production, I can't. I mean, obviously I love the lyrics as well and the melody, but it's the extra boost to have that production along with it. It's needed to make the track what it is.
So good. Love you, Slut. You'll always be a star.
Mm.
All right, number one, so we know what these are going to be now.
We do.
My number one is Now That We Don't Talk. I've been Now That We Don't Talk stan since I first heard it. And I have not stopped listening to it. It has, you know, it's well on its way to 100 plays at this point, like, which is wild. And that's why when you were like, I think this is my favorite of the vaults, I have to agree, because as much as I love the Speak Now vaults, I did not listen to them this much.
No.
And Now That We Don't Talk, like, the fact that I haven't run myself out of this song, the fact that I'm still like, I haven't listened to it multiple times today, and I'm like itching to listen to it multiple times a day, is wild. Like, I've never had a song, honestly, I don't think since Look What You Made Me Do or Ready For It or I Did Something Bad has a song had this much of a grip on me, truly. So that's crazy considering how many plays those songs have for me.
Yes.
Now That We Don't Talk, like, I just, first of all, it's heartbreaking. I love the lyrics so much. The production, the acid rock part, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
I had told Marcella that I had made an extended version because I was like, I need more. And then I started listening to it and I was like, you know what? I think it's the perfect length. It has to be that length. And you get the full story. Anything else added or taken away takes away from the punch.
Yeah, and definitely.
So I had to keep the original, which is, you know, fine. And but the way that she sings the I don't have to pretend I like acid rock, I can't do it. It fills my soul up and gets me pregnant. I just can't do it. It's just so fucking good.
Mm.
Honestly, this is a wild statement, but I feel its truth in my heart.
Mm.
This is my new number one on 1989.
Oh yeah.
I love How You Get the Girl.
Yeah.
But this is my 1989 track. I would die for this song.
Yes.
And the fact that it was kept from us for 9 years, jail, Miss Swift. Jail. Yeah. Okay, tell me about your number one.
Is it over now? Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Where do you begin?
I have this thing. I mean, I feel like you and I are both the same. We will listen to a song to death.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that song will just fall off. And, you know, you listen to it so much, you hate it. I mean, I'll never hate it, but I just listen to it so much. It's like, okay, I've done this too much. I need a break. But then with a lot of Taylor Swift tracks, there's just no ceiling, or you break through the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. It's encompassed me. It is Out of the Woods Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The storytelling of it is fantastic.
Incredible storytelling.
It feels epic. It says you thought you knew the whole story. You didn't. It fills in the blank spaces of Out of the Woods. I mean, all of these vault tracks kind of do, really. It's wonderful.
And
I can't fault anything about it.
No, there's not one thing I would add or subtract from it. It is perfection.
I have already, like, I've got the music video in my head. Of course, I've done it as an extension of Out of the Woods as well.
Mm.
And yeah, it's phenomenal. I think it is. Yeah, it's in my top. It's in my top three of the whole album for sure.
Yeah, honestly, it might be my new number two. It's that good. It's so good.
Oh yeah, it's definitely my number two. Style's always going to be my number one because it's style, but this is right hot on its heels. Number two.
Mm.
I just love the part where she says, "Do you think I didn't see you? There were flashing lights."
Did you think I didn't see you? There were flashing lights. At least I had the decency to keep my mind. I was like, I just start twerking. I mean, it's so good.
It's brilliant. And the way she says, "Oh Lord."
Oh Lord. Yeah. It's so good.
Oh my God. This song makes me want to jump off very tall samples.
Same. I'll meet you there. Oh my God.
See, at least I know someone would come running.
Yeah, exactly. You,
to jump off with me.
To jump with you, not to stop you, but to be like, same, and jump off.
And in the Out of the Woods video where she jumps off the cliff as well, it's just so linked. Yes. It's so Out of the Woods Part 2. And I love Out of the Woods, but this has made me love it more.
Mm-hmm. I will say, to me, it's very if Out of the Woods and Clean had a baby.
Yes.
In the sense of clean because of the storytelling, but also the when she says red blood, white snow, and then she's like, it's very clean.
Yes.
So yeah. it's cleans like storytelling and like rhythm.
Yeah.
But with out of the woods like production.
Yes. Oh, and I love that beginning bit as well, where it starts off with like the little kind of like seagull
the
calling in the background.
The labyrinth sound.
Yeah. I know.
Everyone's been talking about it. With a little bit of Dear Reader. You know that sound in Dear Reader where it's like, it's kind of the same thing.
No wonder I love it so much.
I know, right?
Oh, and the way she's like, but no. I love the way she says, but no. Oh,
it's incredible.
I'm going to need a minute.
God, it's so good. This vault.
The emotions. Yeah, the emotions.
The way that we were like, cut to us a week and a half ago, being like, this is the weakest vault. What the fuck is this? And now we're like, oh my God, it's the best vault ever. Listen, we're nothing if not impressionable, okay?
Yeah. And I feel predictable.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I still prefer Speak Now as a full, complete re-record.
Same. Yes.
Like, I can't, I don't know, it just sounds, it's just the best one, in my opinion.
It's seamless to me.
Seamless. Speak Now. That's a great word for it.
Yeah.
But I can, 1989 vaults?
If I dive into Speak Now vaults, I would have to listen to the entirety of the album.
Yes,
to get the kind of like, to get that full impression. Whereas with 1989, I've touched on some of the re-recorded tracks, but it's literally all been about the vaults. So I'm not listening to it as a whole project.
Right.
I'm just listening to it like it's a little mini EP.
Yeah. I get that too.
Yeah.
I feel like I've listened to the album in full more probably than you have.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Because just How You Get the Girl is at 24 plays. So.
Right. Yes.
All of them have at least one. There are some skips on 1989 for me. Sorry.
But, same. No, there are for me as well.
There's one, two, three, four. Weirdly enough, I would have originally considered Shake It Off to be one of those skips. However, I really love the Taylor's version, I gotta say.
Yeah. So, no, I prefer it to the original version, but again, I'm still,
I'm not really, when I listen to the album in full, I won't skip it, but if it came on shuffle, I probably would, if that makes sense.
Yes, I get it. I get it.
So, yeah. We're 1989 vault. Well, we're not 1989 bitches, but 1989 vault bitches, for sure.
We are. Yeah, for sure. We're in agreement on that.
Until Reputation.
I mean, this is our placeholder to just keep us, you know, satiated until the main course. This is the starter.
Yeah, this is the calm in the air. Mm-hmm. And then we're ready for the earth to crack open.
Yeah.
And swallow us whole. That's what we're waiting on.
That's what's going to happen, actually. When we jump off that cliff together and we think we're going towards, you know, plummeting to our doom, the ground is going to crack open to reveal the earth's core. And the earth's core is a snake.
Yes. And it's the snake that's fabled in the Garden of Eden. And it's really living within the core. It starts at the beginning and it ends in the beginning. And it begins at the end. Ouroboros. Anyway. But yeah, so I know that I'm going to lose my absolute, like, I might have to, like, be sedated. Like, that's how hype I'm going to be about Reputation TV being announced.
We are going to be doing a special standalone episode for that, just so the people who want to listen to it can, and the people who just, like, want to get the manga can. But I feel like that is going to be just an hour of silence. As we try to...
And sobs.
Yeah.
Just crying.
As we try to gather our thoughts.
Yeah. It's gonna... Oh, my God. I just can't... It makes me really emotional because I mean, I'd done a couple videos before Reputation had come out, but the Reputation reactions really kind of gave me an audience. And yeah, it enabled me to have my video shown at the Reputation tour every night. Yeah. And it got me the opportunity to meet Taylor. So I think that's why I'm gonna need to be sedated, because Reputation would mean the world to me even if those things hadn't happened. But it just heightens my love for this album.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm not mentally prepared for that Justin to arise into power. Because I'm
me as well
insufferable.
It was I'll be right alongside you. For me, it was like a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what spawned our friendship.
Yeah.
So had it not been for the Reputation album, this podcast wouldn't be happening.
True. You know, be thankful that we're doing separate episode for Reputation, because this podcast 100% would not exist without Reputation. It's just the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
But we can go into that more in the special edition.
Yes.
The after school special.
The after school special, that's right. Sailor Manga after school edition. but that's all I got. That was it for me.
Yeah.
Look at us. You know, I love that we both were like, Moon News is going to be short. Cut to, it's been an hour.
Whenever I say I don't have a lot, it's warning signs should start. Warning sirens. Should go off in your head.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's get into Black Paradox, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, today we're doing Chapter 5, The Spirit World Project again. And interesting cover this time, because we have Baratxi with her newly healed face after her birthmark was removed last time. We got Taburo looking very sinister side eye. We've got Robot Ton with his blank ass eyes. And then a shadowy figure who honestly to me looks like Taburo. But I'm not sure. So if you remember from last time, aside from Baratxi getting her birthmark removed because it was pouring out soul stones, Dr. Suga became implicated in this wild case of multiple crimes by chaining Maruso in the basement of his mountain mansion.
After having whisked her away and kissed her.
Yeah. Can you can you say predator? It's giving predator. So, not looking good for Maruso, but we're going to see where it goes. Okay, so we start the chapter, wouldn't you know it, back at the mountain mansion, which was masqueraded as a quote-unquote cottage in the last chapter, but it's a mountain mansion. A mini mountain mansion, but still a mansion nonetheless, with its four-ass levels. Anyway, we cut inside, it looks like, the door to the basement from last time, and I think this is Maruso, who's saying, scared, so scared. And then we zoom in on her face, and she looks like she's going through it, because again, she's like here against her will.
Yeah.
And she says, something terrifying is going to happen. I can sense it.
Girl, you're chained to a table. I mean, I think that's a given.
Yeah. And I feel like this is because she has that like sixth sense or whatever. She's like, I always think that things are going to happen.
You don't need a sixth sense to know something bad is going to happen when you're handcuffed. You've been handcuffed to a table for a month.
Oh, that's right. I forgot it's been a month.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's right. So then we cut to another basement door where the pool was, where we saw the Pylorus, Piton's Pylorus that had grown in size. And I'm not sure who all's here, but it looks like Baratxi, Taburo, Dr. Suga, and some guy.
Some guy.
And it looks like there's suddenly like a hatch coming out of the Pylorus that's in the pool.
Yes. That's exactly what's going on.
So the guy, he's in like diving gear, so I'm just going to call him Diver for the time being. Diver says, so what then? This job, all I have to do is go into this kind of creepy sack. Did you have to say those combination of words, Diver? Did you have to? And Suga. And we see Baratxi and Taburo behind him. So he's kind of become like the ringleader now, which is weird.
Yeah. Mm.
Suga says, yes, there's an entrance to another room in that sack. To another room? Interesting.
I think they do. I mean, if they said another realm to this diver guy, he might not take the paycheck.
Oh, yeah, that's fair, because we know that the soul stones are connected to the afterlife.
Yeah.
And specifically the Pylorus, because that's what the doctor was freaking out about. He says, I want you to go in and report what you see. This doorway, the doorway is bright. You'll see it right away. And Diver says, bringing me all the way to this house in the mountains, this some kind of experiment? I'm really going to get the money you promised, right? Because money talks.
Mm.
And Suga says, no need to worry. Now, let's begin. And he picks up like the diving helmet and puts it on Diver and helps Diver into the pool to go to like this little hatch that's appeared on the Pylorus. This is fucking ridiculous. I love it. Because it's like these double little half moon doors on this like gigantic grown Pylorus.
Yeah.
Gigantic stomach. So he opens the hatch. They creak open because they're doors. I wonder if they're fleshy too. Yeah, that's gross. But Diver just is like, okay. And he dives in because it looks like watery.
Mm.
And the other three are just like, okay, that's interesting. And but we see Diver is inside and it doesn't look like the rest of it's really watery.
Oh, no, it is. He's still floating.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it, but yeah. Okay. It's...
He's still floating. Got it. So he's floating inside of the stomach. And he sees this like a ball of light or this opening.
Yeah, that's the where the stones were coming out of, if you remember.
Oh, right. This is what the doctor saw and was like, the Pylorus.
Yes.
Okay, so Diver goes up to it, to the opening, and he says, what the hell is this? And then he's a dumbass because he just goes up to it and says, can you hear me? You don't even know what's going on in here, but you're shouting into this doorway while you're swimming inside of a stomach.
Yeah.
Whatever. So he's like, I'm going in. And he swims in. And we cut to the three culprits outside in the pool who are like monitoring the tube that the diver's leaving behind. So they
tabs on him. Well, Dr. Sugar and Barachi are. Tabaray's just stood there.
Watching like a man. I'm surprised he's not sitting on a goddamn couch.
With his hand down his pants.
I know, right? But Suga's feeding like the tube into the, or like, you know, flexing out the tube so he has room to move around inside. But there's like a slight jerk after presumably he goes inside of the opening. And Suga's looking out like the monitor. He's like monitoring it in some way. And he has like a microphone so he can communicate with Diver from far away. And he says, what's wrong? Why'd you stop? And he looks and it looks like there's just like this black void. Like it looked like there was static, but now it looks like there's this black void with like white opening.
Oh, so what happens is, so he's basically seeing the visual of what Diver's seeing. And then in the second screen, the monitor cuts dead. It's got the bzzzt sound, so it cuts out. So we know something's wrong.
Oh, shit.
It's like the connection has been lost, Houston. We have a problem.
Okay, got it. So Suga says, damn it. So that won't work then. Tabaro, help me pull him out. So it's like, finally, now Barachi's the one who's crossing her arms, watching the men do the work. And they're like pulling to get him out of there. And they start, what the fuck? They start pulling it out and it looks like it's got pumpkin guts all over it. It looks like pumpkin guts.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's just like stringy and it looks like the upside down mess.
Yes.
It's I'm sorry, I can't keep looking at it. It makes
then
me want to throw up. Okay. It's disgusting. But it looks like it's like growing onto the line that Diver was attached to.
Yeah.
And Barachi, Suga, and Tabaro were like, what the fuck? And then there's a then there's a sploosh. And they pull out the rest and it's graphic, okay? It's not explicit, but it's graphic to me.
Mm.
And there's all kinds of shit all this pumpkin gut stuff.
It's the upside down, it is.
Yeah, it's the upside down. And is this his skeleton?
Yeah.
It looks like it's
coming out of the suit. And then just the pumpkin guts.
Yeah.
It's pumpkin gut season.
It is pumpkin gut season. It is. Oh my God. Okay, next page. So clearly Diver is dead. Yeah. Quite clearly. Going into the stomach upside down has him turned inside out.
Yes.
And so then we just see Tabro, Barachi, and Suga at a dinner table with no food. And
Barachi, they can't eat after that.
You know what? Fair. I wouldn't be able to either. It's so weird to see Barachi without either her hair covering her face or without the birthmark, but she's like healed with a huge scar going down the center of her face. So interesting. But anyway.
That's supposed to clear up though, apparently, according to Dr. Suga.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust him. I mean, if I were Maruso, trusting him doesn't go very far.
No.
So Barachi says, that corpse, why did he look like that? And Suga says, the atmosphere in the other world must be totally different from ours. All the video cameras and recording instruments up to now have broken. That's why I decided to go ahead and send a person in. And Tabro says, well, if you're giving out wads of cash, any number of people in town will jump to take it. Suga, you're a scary guy. Yeah, I fucking hate Tabro.
Yeah. So he's basically saying, let's keep lining up more divers to become pumpkin nuts.
Like, yeah, he's like, just keep trying it. Like, who cares? Suga says, sacrifices are inevitable in new ventures, but I did actually rush this. I should have started with reaching out to institutions and developing an exploratory drone. So then why didn't you?
Yeah.
If you can, like, whatever. So Tabro says, institutions? And says, Suga, what exactly is your game here? And Barachi looks very bereft. She looks so upset, which I would be too if I just saw a pumpkin guts human before me. And Suga says, I don't want to exaggerate things here, but this can't be dealt with at the individual level. We'll have to mobilize the power of the nation and investigate this other world, what you all had called the spirit world. The peridonite that exists there, what you call the souls, is a mineral that possesses enormous amounts of energy. This is critical. The key to the future for resource poor Japan. Mm-hmm. I've never known Japan to be poor of resources. But interesting. And Tabro says, I get it. So you get the country to develop an exploratory drone. Oh, wait, we actually have a robot, right, Barachi? Don't send in Robot Ton. Well, actually, Robot Ton would be like, I don't know, is it going to kill me? Because I'll do it. Because we saw him hanging from the chandelier last time.
We did.
And Suga's like, a robot? And then we cut to the sports car from last time that we saw Barachi and Tabro arrive in. And, oh, that's right, he was in the trunk. In this case, the front trunk.
Yeah.
So they lead Suga out. Tabro opens it, and in this like little cylinder, curled up in the fetal positions, Robot Ton. And he opens his eyes, and he's making his mechanical movement sounds, and he starts to unfurl from his position. And Tabro says, "You still haven't used up that energy." Oh, right. He's powered by the peridonite energy now. Yes. I forgot. And he's like, that peridonite is really something else. So they bring Piton, or, you know, Robot Ton, down to Robot Ton to Piton's excavated, enlarged stomach.
Yeah. Down in the basement. Just think about that sentence.
Yeah, that's wild. So Tabro says, hey, Piton, this massive sack is the stomach of the real Piton. And God, you wanted to die, right? Even though you're a robot? Well, there's a door to the other side in the stomach. Damn, they really don't give a shit. Top 10 things I didn't think would come from this read-through. Me feeling bad for Robot Ton.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. And Robot Ton says, a door to the other side. The other side of the dog. Oh God, I need that edition. The other side of the door, Pylorus edition. Pylorus version. Robot Ton says, is there really? So then if I go through it, I can die, right? Let's all go through it together.
Robot Ton.
No, bless him.
He looks so happy.
So happy. He is so so ecstatic that this is fine. He's finally at the end. And he plops in the water. Taburo gives him the line, or I guess a new line, because they would have had to have cleaned it or gotten a new one or whatever. And he's like, we'll come later. Here, take this. And they, or no, then Robot Tan says, promise. Oh, bless
I know.
Him.
With his little pooky head, like, popping out of the water. He's like, double promise?
He's like, inky promise. Oh, bless him. But they tie, or he ties the line around his waist in a knot, and then he dives into the already open fleshy doors of the Pylorus, or of the stomach, and he goes diving in, and they start feeding the line. And Suga says, a skinny robot like that won't be able to hold out for too long.
All although right. I do... Body shamer.
I know, right? Damn. Although I do acknowledge it's cutting it, it's a cutting edge machine. And then Suga's like, uh-oh, what's happening? Because he looks over at Taburo, who's feeding the line, and it starts to like slip. Oh no, it's going like really fast. It's going fast forward. Okay, got it. And Suga's like, what the fuck? And he's thinking, he's moving forward. He's steadily advancing. And it gets to the point, it does this like wide shot, and then there's like a twang because the end of the line is tied to like the ladder of the pool. And it's like taut because Robot Tan, wherever he is still trying to go forward, but he can't because it's the end of the line. And that's what Suga says, basically. And then he says, all right, that's enough. Let's pull him up, Taburo. So him and Taburo, while Baranchi, again, cross-armed, watching them work, I live for it, start pulling back the line. And oh my God, there's a little bit of water drippage, but no pumpkin guts.
No.
And they pull out Robot Tan, and it's, I love that the line has slipped from his waist up to like underneath his shoulders, or underneath his arms, I mean. And he doesn't look pumpkin gutsy at all.
I mean, he's a robot, so he doesn't have pumpkin guts.
Oh, true. His guts don't need to explode from the inside. That's fair. I just thought that maybe it was like a debris thing, or like an infection.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's,
So they pull him out. He looks like he's seen some shit, but otherwise he looks okay. And he's like panting at the side of the pool, and Suga bends down and says, Piton, tell me what you saw. And his eyes are void of pupils. And he says, full of light, a dazzling world. And what the fuck? All of a sudden, Robot Tan's stomach gets very pregnant looking.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's his stomach. I think he's just collected them and he's holding them under his shirt.
Oh. I could kind of see that. Okay. I thought, I was like, this robot done got pregnated by the other world, and all the soul stones are the babies. Where some shit's going down.
I think he's just been having a little, you know, got to catch them all moment on the other side.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah. So we can tell that they were the soul stones underneath his shirt. I just wasn't sure if they were growing or not, but yeah, they're glowing.
Yeah.
And then he opens his shirt and they just clatter to the ground, much to Suga's delight, I guess. But he's also very shocked. And when they pour out, souls of the faces, or the soul faces start to pour out of them and around them, much like we saw with Baranchi and Taburo when they tried to like hammer one. And Robot Tan says, I flew around the dazzling world and I picked up so many beautiful stones. And then we get like this image of Robot Tan diving back in with this dialogue that says, Piton went back and forth between this world and the dazzling world many times after that. Suga christened him Spirit World Flyer Number One. Shouldn't it be Spirit World Flyer Number Only? Because he's the only one who can do it without dying.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of, when people start putting numbers after your name, you feel like you're part of an experiment, don't you? That would be a warning to me.
Yeah, I mean, did we learn nothing from 11 from Stranger Things?
Exactly.
Also, I feel bad for Robot Tan because he's like, you promise I'll die? And the reason that he keeps doing it is because he can't die.
Yeah.
Bless him.
And also, Maruso.
Yeah, where the fuck? Like, are we feeding her? Is she okay? Anyway, we cut back to the outside of the mansion where we see Taburo in a chair, not in a couch. Very uncharacteristic of him. Baranchi looks like she's at a table with a glass of wine because she's stressed out. And Suga is tending to what looks like Robot Tan's wrist. And Suga says, strange. All of the other measurement devices were smashed to pieces, so why weren't you? And Robot Tan says, well, because it's my stomach, of course. And Suga says, what? And Baratie says, Dr. Suga, I know Pitan needs you too, but I'm supposed to have a checkup today, right? Damn, okay. She's like, it's about me now. You need to check my scarring. And he's like, yes, of course. Let's go into another room. So then she's like, I need an exam right now. So they go into another room. He's examining her scar, which it looks a lot better.
Yeah.
It's starting to fade. And with her no eyebrow, I have an ass. Love it. It's a look. And he's examining her face and says, you're progressing nicely. The scar's gotten a lot less noticeable. If this keeps up, it'll be completely gone in a year. Okay. That's not terrible. She says, thank goodness. And then he just looks her over and says, how about I give you a makeover, sis? What the fuck is happening? What the fuck? And she's like, what? And she's like, doctor, you can do makeup? And he's like, I'm surprisingly good. What is happening? Oh my God.
I know, I love it.
Stupid.
It's Dr. Sugar's glow up TV yeah. show.
Literally. Oh, God. So we see him, I guess, applying Baratie's makeup, and all he did was throw her hair in a ponytail, which is very lazy, in my opinion. That's not a full makeover, but okay. And then he's like, there, all done. How's it look? And hands her a mirror, which I'm sure has to be a really crazy experience for her because she's always feared mirrors and hated the way she looked.
Yeah.
So to finally look in and like see something she likes, I'm sure that's emotional for her.
Mm.
And she's like, my doctor, because she looks flawless. And you can't see her scar because she's got the makeup on. She's got her eyebrow drawn on over her non-eyebrow side of her face. She looks gorgeous. And he says, you're really beautiful. Ew. And she just says, nothing. Because she's like, okay. And he's like, oh, by the way, I'm planning on inviting some VIPs and engineers to the cottage. Not calling it a cottage again. He says, I'd love for you to dress up and make an appearance. Oh, what the fuck is about to happen here on this day? She says, but why me? And he says, Baratie. And he leans in and kisses her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, doctor.
She's so excited.
Yeah, she like flings into his arms after they kiss. Baratie.
She's already.
For Marisa.
She wants to go Instagram official. She's already got their kids' names picked out.
She's like, put me on the table, daddy. Like, what the fuck? I can't with her. Because she knows that Marisa kissed Suga. She watched it happen.
Mm.
And then the next thing that happened was Marisa was chained to a table. So I'd be suspicious.
Dr. Suga is not, I mean, you know, who am I to judge?
He's not hot. Let's just say it. He's not hot at all. Like, I hate Taburo, but he's hotter than Suga. Sorry.
Mm.
But it's just true. So then, I almost said Marisa. Baratie says, say, doctor, what about Marisa? I thought you loved her. Period. Call him out, queen.
Yeah, he loved her. That's why she's chained to the table.
Chained in the basement. Yeah. And Suga says, she suffers mentally. Wow. Okay, mental health shaming.
Mm.
He says, there's nothing more I can do for her. Wait, what? How is she suffering mentally? Because she wants to stop y'all?
And because she's tied up.
Right.
And that's your way of dealing with her mental issues?
I hate him. I hate everyone. Everyone sucks here.
Except Marisa and Robot Tan.
Except for Marisa and Robot Tan, which is not how I thought this story was going to unfold. So yeah, he says, there's nothing more I can do for her. And do you think I could confine a person I love like that? You're the only one I love.
Oh, he's such a manipulator.
Literally, he's the fucking worst. Oh, God. So then we cut to the other room because we know that they're sectioned off. Taburo's in his chair. Robot Tan's in his dining chair. And Taburo with like this sunflower design on his chair. Very interesting. Mm. says her examination sure is taking a long time. Is that all it is? I've wondered if there was something going on with those two. And then he stands up and says, hey, Piton, I'm getting out of here. This third wheel's moving on. We've been cleared of the terrorism charges. So he's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And Robot Ton's like, what? You're going? I'll miss you. Aw, Robot Ton. Damn it. And Tauber's like, later, Piton. And as he's walking out the door, he's thinking, oh, yeah, maybe I'll go say bye to Maruso. Yeah, because she's not fucking chained in the fucking basement. It's like, hey, sorry you're still chained. Bye. Like, what the fuck? So he's thinking she's the one getting a bum deal here. None of this is her fault. Maybe I could take her with me and run. Because she's a thing to be taken. Love
but
that.
But still, I'd kind of like him to save her.
I would like for him to save her, yeah.
Mm.
Find the key to those cuffs and then tell the whole world about Suga's evil deeds. Oh, is Tauber flipping the vote? Okay, Tauber-o. Suddenly this is Survivor. I love it. So he goes to the bedroom door, the basement door, wherever the fuck Maruso is being held.
I think she's being kept upstairs now by the looks of it.
Yeah, it does look more. Oh yeah, because he's in front of some stairs before he walks up them. That makes sense. So he opens up the door and lo and behold, there's Maruso chained by her ankles and her wrists. And it looks like her hair has grown a little bit and it's like wild and unbrushed. And she, oh, God bless her. She looks like she's going through it.
It's very Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, bless her. Oh, Maruso.
But she's got a trolley full of like snacks. Looks like some pizza boxes. And some toilet paper. Toilet paper.
You know, the essentials for when you're
chained.
I
don't know how she can wipe with her hands being bound.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's like sweaty and her eyes are like fixed up towards the ceiling. Oh, bless her heart. It is giving Exorcist, honestly. Tauber-o leans down and says, Maruso, you okay? God damn it. Yep. Just chilling. Like, what is this supposed to say? But she says, I'm scared. So scared. Something terrifying is going to happen. And then she looks at him, quits looking at the ceiling. Her eyes dart toward him. And she says, to me and to you, I can sense it. And he's like, what? And he starts to sweat because he's like, nah, that can't be true. I'm on the way out the door. I'm out of here. And she says, Tauber-o, something terrifying is going to happen to you too. He's like, oh, shit. So what does he do? He just bolts out of the room, leaves her chained there. And next thing we know, he's in the goddamn sports car.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Tauber-o? So Tauber-o is zooming away and he's calling her a bitch. He's not really, but whenever I see TCH in manga, I just assume that they're saying bitch and it got cut off. Y'all right. Know the trend here. Yeah. So he's like, bitch, they're all a bunch of loonies. And then suddenly there's a figure like in the road or on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And he whizzes past them and they're wearing all black, which is very Black Paradox. And I knew it. He screeches to the car to a halt as he's looking at this passenger, because wouldn't you know it, this figure looks just like Tauber-o.
Mm.
So is this a second doppelganger? Because his other doppelganger got popped like a balloon. Or is this an illusion? I'm intrigued. Mm. So what the fuck is about to happen here on this day? So the figure's looking at him. He's looking at the figure with sweat drops. And then suddenly we're at the big mansion, the seaside mansion that Tauber-o bought that Baratxi mentioned last chapter. Because she bought the lush condo after her apartment burn rippled to death.
Yeah, she was like...
And you bought a mansion or whatever.
Yeah, she was 1989 city version and he was the current beach edition.
Yeah, exactly. So he's at his lush beach mansion and says, been a while since I've seen you, doppelganger. And he's just having a nice casual sunbathe on the deck, on the upper level deck with a little drinky drink. And so I guess he was just talking like, oh, it's been a while since I've seen that doppelganger, and then he left. I guess, because we see he's alone and he's, you know, enjoying the sun. He reaches for his drink and out of the corner of his eye over at the cliff that sort of oversees his property, wouldn't you know it, it's the doppelganger. And he's thinking, damn it, there he is again. And it looks like Taburo, but it looks like a, like, demonic Slenderman version of Taburo.
Yeah.
That's what it's giving to me. And so he's being haunted in some way, whether it's physical or mental, by his doppelganger again. We cut back to the mountain mansion at Suga's, and looks like Suga and Baratie are checking in on Marisou. And Baratie says, Marisou, the doctor doesn't love you anymore. What the fuck? wait, what? Just casually walking in. Hey, Marisou, he doesn't love you anymore. He loves me. Just wanted to update you, like, while you're here. What?
She's like, I'm just going to speak for him as well. He's just going to stand next to me.
I didn't even, like, process the words as I was speaking them. That's why I reacted so much. Like, what the fuck? Okay, the doctor doesn't love you anymore. He and I are in love. We're getting married.
Yeah.
And I love how Sugar's just like, yep, we sure are.
Does he ever, like, change, Dr. Suga? He's always in his little doctor's outfit, isn't he? He's always on duty.
Yeah, always, it seems like.
There's no casual off day.
So Marisou, in that panel where she's sweating, she gives me Corpse Bride. She's giving Corpse Bride.
Yes.
In that panel. And she says, Baratie, something terrifying is going to happen to you and to me. And Barachi's just like, can't be me. And she's just like laughing hysterically. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
What is this chapter? So she laughs in Marisou's face. She takes Suga outside of Marisou's room, leaves the door open, and like pushes him up against a wall to start kissing him. What the fuck?
Just casually making out.
So they break apart their kiss. And Suga says, Baratie, there's something I want to show you. Oh, God. Throw her in the pool. And she says, what? And he takes her to the pool room where the stomach is.
Yeah.
And she says, doctor, is it in the basement pool? And he's like, not here. In the room back there. And he points to the room that was behind the pool, which, if I'm not mistaken, is probably the room where her birthmark's in the big petri dish.
Mm.
So he opens it up and he shows it to her. And wouldn't you fucking know it? It is. It's the petri dish birthmark baby pool.
It's very Hawkins Lab in here, isn't it?
Very! Because the last time we saw her birthmark, it was producing more soul stones. I guess he was keeping that to himself. But now it looks like there's like openings to where someone could jump into the birthmark.
Yes.
And she's like, doctor, this... And he says, I cultivated your birthmark. I didn't tell you, but the gate is valuable. Not the gate. And she says, it's awful. You do awful things, doctor. And you're in love with him. So what does that say about you, bitch?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, but I thought you might do something like this. So you really did cultivate it. Wait, so are you upset or not?
Yeah.
And he says, look, a good gate has opened in the middle of the birthmark. And it's horrific. Very Freddy vibes yet again. And he says, I asked Piton to go to the spirit world through this gate the other day, but he refused. He said, this was your gate, so I should ask you. Right, because Robot Ton can only go through Piton's. Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. Okay. And she looks a little worried about this. I guess you're not so in love now, huh? And then we pan to the outside of the mountain mansion, because as we recall, Suga said he was inviting VIPs and engineers and shit, and we see the arrival of these said people.
All men.
All men, of course, because why not? And they are all gathering in the basement pool where the stomach is, and they're talking amongst themselves. It doesn't look like Suga's here yet. And they're like, the doctor says this is a human stomach, and that there's another world inside of it, filled with peridonite. Such nonsense is simply impossible to believe. And then someone points out, but there is peridonite everywhere in this cottage. Be careful not to step on any, minister. Of course the church is involved. I know it's probably prime minister, but any chance I have to pass the church, I'm going to take it.
I was going to say, I think it's more of a like an office position, but you go for it.
I will. So then Suga appears in the room and says, thank you so much much for coming today. And who's by his side but Robot-Tan and Baratie? And he's suddenly not in his doctor outfit. He's in a suit.
Oh, yeah. He changed. He heard me.
He did. He heard you. He's like, okay, I will change the fit. So he says, it is an honor to have representatives of our country here. And Baratie's wearing like this little strappy dress, thin strap dress. Very cute. Or is that just her top and she's wearing a skirt?
I don't know.
And of course, Robot-Tan's in his standard black, just like the regular Piton wore. And Suga says, allow me first to introduce Piton. He's a robot. And they're all like, what the fuck? He's a robot. And he's like, it was modeled after the owner of this giant stomach. And they're like, yes, yes, I see. Of course, yes. And Suga says, and this is Bara Hiratani. This is the first time we get her full name. Interesting. Well, yeah, if we're going to marry.
Yeah, I think we knew Hiratani, didn't we, from the
mailbox
maybe, but yeah, I didn't know.
Bara. Well, she's Baratie, and he says, known as Baratie. These two are the key to this project. And they're like, oh, this beautiful woman. Okay. Men never change. Suga says, now I'd ask that you please look at our results. First, Piton. And then we get a bunch of action happening with a little bit of dialogue told to us. And it says, the VIPs watched as Piton went into this massive stomach. When he came out with a large amount of peridonite 10 minutes later, it was analyzed on the spot. And so we see them analyzing the peridonite, a group of them. And someone says, there's no mistake. It's real. Someone else says, I still can't believe this, though. Spirit world? Parallel world? There must be some kind of gimmick inside of the stomach. And Dwight Eisenhower is here. That's who that fucking looks like. Who says, true, it's not as if we saw the gate to this other world ourselves. And I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. Go see it for yourself, pumpkin guts ass bitch.
Feel free to jump in.
Yeah.
It's still pumpkin guts season.
It still is. So Suga says, now then, gentlemen, next up is the beautiful Bara. If you'll come into the other room where her gate is. So he leads them to the petri dish. Oh god, not this. They're like, oh, this is just as disgusting. And she ties a line around her waist and she's like, hee 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 hee. I'll return in a moment, gentlemen. And she stands on the side of the petri dish in heels, mind you. That's a boss ass move. And she literally dives into one of the openings of her birthmark.
She does the Taylor Swift Eras Tour stage dive.
Literally. Yeah, she does exactly that. And she dives in and we see her falling towards the opening. And then we cut back to the businessmen outside who are like, ah, what was that? And Suga says, what you caught a glimpse of through this gate is the other world. Okay, that sentence was very hard for me. He says, right now she is flying freely through that dazzling space and collecting peridonite. The truth is, this tissue is from her body. She is the only one who can dive through that gate and return safely. And they're like, ooh. Uh-oh, something sinister is about to happen. Because it says 30 minutes later, and some of the men are like, it's taking quite a while this time. And Suga assures them, she should be returning soon, it's fine. And then suddenly, there's a nailed grip on the birthmark.
Uh-oh.
And the line starts to retract out, gaining everyone's attention. And then we see Baratie is pulling herself out. And right before we see her face, she comes out and she is... Her jaw is like melting. Her eye is melted. It almost looks like kind of like her skin is burned.
Yeah.
And they all start screaming. She's still pulling her like half zombie corpse out of the birthmark.
Oh, it's very, sorry, I literally compare everything to Taylor, but it's Look What You Made Me Do.
Yes, it is. Oh my God, I love that. So yeah, she's coming out. She's missing one of her eyes. Her skin is starting to crack around her forehead. And then suddenly her face explodes. What the fuck?
Her head explodes.
Her head fucking explodes. And what the fuck is this? They're all like averting their eyes to the explosion. There's like chunks of her flying around, but they look like metal pieces. What? And they're like, Dr. Sugar, what on earth is this? And we see Baratxi's exploded back. Her arms are still intact, which is very impressive. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what? This dress is very Out of the Woods as well.
Yes.
Music video. Very. But Baratxi's hair is on the ground. Love that her hair stayed intact, honey. Got to keep the wig. But it looks like she's a robot. Does it not?
Mm-mm.
There's like wires sticking out of her and shit. I'm assuming that's what's going on. But then the chapter ends. So... I don't know. What's going on? What the fuck?
Mm.
Huh. Okay, things are getting crazy. Marcella, what were your favorite parts?
I mean, this whole chapter, it was mental.
Literally crazy.
Poor Marisso. Just the humor in it, though, with just Baratxi making out with the doctor. He doesn't love you anymore, Marisso.
That moment. Hey, Marisso, I know you're chained up. I know you can't go anywhere. But guess what? Update. He doesn't love you anymore. He loves me. We're getting married.
Yeah. We're getting married. I hope you can be happy for us.
God.
Interesting, the return of the doppelganger, the Tarbro.
Yeah, I wonder Tarbro. Tarbro. I wonder what's going to happen.
And Roboton, like, I think becoming our favorite.
Honestly?
This.
Yeah, since Marisso's chained in the basement and being silenced, I got to go with Roboton.
Yeah. And just Dr. Sugar being just shifty as heck, getting all the women. No idea why.
Yeah, because
it's interesting.
No. It must be packing, I guess.
Doesn't look like it, but okay. What about you?
Yeah, definitely Roboton is a highlight. Bless his little heart. He's just, he's doing his best. And even when he's like, you promise it'll kill me, and it doesn't, and he just has to keep working for them. Bless his heart. But yeah, Baratxi being a fucking dumbass bitch in this.
Yeah.
And then the ending, like, what the fuck is going on? Did he swap out Baratxi? Like, what the fuck is going on?
I know.
Did they build a robot because they were like, oh, Roboton can go in, but we don't want anything bad to happen to Baratxi? That's what I'm thinking is going on. I think he built a Baratxi.
Right.
Interesting. Anyway.
All will be revealed in the final chapter.
The final chapter, you guys. Next week is the end of our Black Paradox read through. Our spooky season little treat.
Yeah.
Will be over next week. The final chapter is called Toward a Dazzling Future.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens there. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Sailor Manga. You can find me on the internet at JustinGray22 across Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And you can find us both on Instagram and Twitter at Sailor Manga Pod.
And oh, fuck. I just remembered.
What?
The email.
Next Moon News?
We'll do it next Moon News. That's fine.
It deserves
not a final mention.
Yeah, exactly. It's too amazing.
We got an email. Look forward to that in the next episode. Sorry, Marco.
We're just not used to getting emails anymore. So.
I know, right? Anyway, speaking of the email, you can email us at sailormangapodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to leave a rating and review if you feel so inclined. Helps people find the show. And yeah, on to the finale next week. We're almost there. And then we'll be doing our next manga immediately after because we're crazy ready to get started.
No breaks. No breaks. We're going straight in.
And don't worry, we're returning to Shoujo. It's happening. We're coming back.
The Shoujo begins again.
Mm-hmm. Begin again. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for listening again. And we'll just say, in this paradoxical night,
don't let the bedbugs bite.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I'm still thinking about that fucking Demogorgon we played against last night.
I know, the little peekaboo.
He was the fucking cutest. For like a supposed to be terrifying monster, it was so fucking cute.
He was like the Dart of Demogorgons.
Dart, yeah. Oh my God, Dart's all grown up.
It made me laugh. I turned around and he was like behind the hay bale. And I was like, oh, hey. And then he was like peeking and then hiding. So I was like, I know what he wants to do. He wants to play peekaboo.
And it was so cute seeing his little feet shuffle like back and forth. Oh my God. Oh, it made the night, honestly.
It did. Oh, such fun memories. Oh, I hope he's just all good things happen to that person because.
Oh.